bring you greetings from the New Testament Baptist Church of Annapolis, Louisiana. Probably unknown to you, we have prayed for you. And this day is the consummation of that request. We rejoice with you in this special day. First Baptist Church of Parker has been very kind to me. They invited me to speak in the shopping mall. I was invited to speak at the 25-year anniversary celebration. And I am here today with great pleasure on the ordination of your elders. The quotations that I will make are from the King James Version. There are a couple of caveats that I would mention. One, my words are primarily to the elders that you are ordaining. I want all of you to listen because the Scripture expressly spells out your attitude and behavior toward elders. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians that they would get to know those that labored among them and to esteem them very highly for their work's sake. The apostle wrote to the Hebrews in Hebrews 13, verse 7, obey them that have the rule over you, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, who watch over your souls, as they that must give accounts, for that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable unto you. And so, the second caveat is, some of the things that I will say may sound strange to you, differ from what you have heard or read or thought. Please consider, before you toss it out, reject it, search and see what the Scriptures say. In the early church, I read from Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, also called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As these ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I believe that this was no shock to Saul and Barnabas. I think this confirmed what was in their heart already. We know from the writings of Paul that he aspired to preach to the regions beyond, to labor where no man ever had preached the gospel before. And so, the church that was at Antioch confirmed the word of the Holy Ghost, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. You know, you have studied in the last year the matter of church leadership. You are to lay hands suddenly on no man. First, let them be proved. Where are they proven? Well, in the qualifications, it is expressly stated they are to be the husband of one wife. They are proved in the marital relationship. Peter said to husbands to live with their wives according to knowledge as heirs together of the grace of life, to treat them as weaker vessels. And Paul tells husbands they should answer their wives' questions. He suffered not a woman to teach. If a woman had a question, she was to ask her husband at home. And so our feminist friends would say, she may know more than he knows. This is true. But the problem can be solved easily if she prays for him. The Holy Spirit can change lives. So, the elder is proved in the marital relationship. It is proved in the home. The one who desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. But he goes on to say, they are to have their children in subjection. They are not to provoke their children to wrath. They are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I believe the primary responsibility of a man is to his family.
Amen.
Certainly, we intend today to ordain some to a responsibility to the church. One has accountability, responsibility only for that which he has authority over. Men, you are accountable to God for your family. You may not like that assignment. You may not like all the implications of it. That is an unimportant consideration. It is given to you. You have it. So, first let them be proved, and then let them serve. And so it was New Testament practice to have the church leadership vested in elders. And they had deacons who attended to the temporal needs of the assembly. I read in Acts 14, verse 23, Paul and Barnabas had been sent out by the church at Antioch. They had preached the gospel in Cyprus, in Asia Minor, Pamphylia, Pisidia, Galatia. We were read about Paul being stoned in Lystra and dragged out of the city and left for dead. But God raised him up. And he went on to Derbe. And in verse 23, and when he had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, he returned to Lystra and Iconium, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, with prayer and fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. That's a good pattern.
Yes.
A young man who was in that area developed spiritually. And so, sometime later, when Paul and Silas returned to Lystra and Iconium, there was a young man named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well reported by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And so we have Timothy, a fellow worker with Paul, from whom you heard the Bible reading, Paul's letter to Timothy. Paul thought a great deal of this young man. From prison in Rome, he wrote to the Philippian Christians in Philippians 2, verse 19. But I trusted the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus to you shortly, that I may be comforted when I learn of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all men seek their own things, not the things that are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath labored with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I trust to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Paul trained young men. In the letter to Titus, Titus 1, verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city. And to young Timothy, he wrote in 1 Timothy 1, verse 4, verse 2, to Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. as I besought thee to remain in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables, nor endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, so do. The job of the elder has some phases, some work that is simple and easy, like loving Christian. And it has some exceedingly difficult, almost impossible things that they are charged to do. Paul wrote to Timothy that he was to maintain order, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. The purity of the church is to be seen to by the elders. We come today to ordain elders. And in a larger sense, we cannot make elders. God does that.
Amen. Amen.
Paul sent for the Ephesian elders to meet him at the seaside at Miletus. In Acts 20, we are told about a poignant, final meeting. In verse 28, he said to the elders, "Take heed to yourselves and to the church of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath bought with his own blood." The Holy Ghost makes elders. But those elders are to take heed to themselves and to the church of God. They are to feed the flock, shepherd, if you will. Peter puts it this way. Peter, I'm an elder, a partaker of the sufferings of Christ and the glory. Feed the flock of God. You are responsible for seeing to the sheep food. That means you must know. You must take care of what you say. And you are responsible for what someone else says from this pulpit to the sheep. Can you hear me? You are responsible for the sheep food. Yes, elders are to be honored. Yes, Paul wrote Timothy, against an elder, receive not an accusation, unless it be by the mouth of two or three witnesses. If you hear a slur, a slander, a libel about an elder, don't appoint a committee to investigate. Ignore it. Unless there's more than one witness, forget. But if there is a charge, if it is investigated and found to be true, that there has been misconduct to the extent that the name of the church and of our Christ is maligned, disgraced. Listen. Don't slip that elder out. Don't let it pass quietly. Don't put it under a bushel. It is to be publicly rebuked. Hard? It's well nigh impossible. And yet, others will hear and fear. And so the purposes of God will be accomplished. Difficult? Yes. Of course it is. It is serious business that you're undertaking. Paul wrote to Timothy, "I suffer not a woman to teach. But suppose that Mrs. Johnson comes and tells Bill, you know, I have a degree in religious education from Dallas Theological Seminary, and I feel that the Holy Spirit has led me to a teaching ministry. I would like to undertake to teach the adult class." Suppose the adult class needs a teacher. What you going to do? What you going to say? It is serious business. To the church at Thyatira, there was a charge leveled at the church because they suffered that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce the servants of God. That's serious. It must not happen. So, order is to be maintained. The purity of the teaching is to be seen to. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, Paul, writing to young Timothy, says, "I charge thee, therefore, in the sight of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." The instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all God. Now, we read over those words. Let me give you my paraphrase. Preach the word. Prepared or unprepared. You know, Peter did say in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Be ready, always. I'm going to tell you how. One, two, three. Read, study, meditate. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading. Now, I had a very spiritual brother. He said, I don't read anything but the Bible. And I said, I read the Bible, but I like to find out what some great men have said about it, some spiritual giants that I admire. Oh, he said, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, for as the same anointing is true and is no lie, and as it hath taught you in all things, so forth and so on. Well, certainly I believe the Holy Spirit teaches us. But I also value the thoughts of others. It was true that when the Lord Jesus sent out the apostles, Matthew 10, verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of man, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. But take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. I believe that martyrs are given a good testimony. I also believe that to enter the pulpit unprepared is unwise and unscriptural. So read widely. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not to be lazy. You're not to depend on the Holy Spirit to give you a word when you have not studied. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, for in so doing, that thy profiting may appear to all. If you study, if you read, if you study, if you meditate, meditating is out of step with our day. We are never quiet. But to meditate is to ponder, to muse, to consider seriously. Timothy was to meditate that his prophecy might appear to all. going back a little, we can see this in action. In Joshua 1, Moses had died. And though he was no longer a young man, Joshua was reluctant to take up the reins of leading this rebellious people. And so God spoke to him and said, "Be strong, good courage. I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses." Joshua 1, verse 8. "And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, to observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Would you have a prosperous ministry? Would you like a successful ministry? This book that has been given to us at considerable price is to stay with you. You're to read it. You're to study it. You're to meditate on it. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. And then you can fulfill the charge that Paul gave to Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Whether you expected to be called on or whether you didn't, you can have a word out of the word for God's people. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that you've not left us in the dark. You've shown us the way. I pray for these to be ordained as elders in this church. Would you keep your hand upon them for good? Oh Lord, we're aware that there will be trials along the way. There will be difficulties to be met and overcome. But you are sufficient. You know all about these situations. Father, work mightily in these. I ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.